Right now, it is time for movie reviews. They're brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Here is Tim Lammers.
Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. What are we going to be looking at today?
Well, this is like a cultural holiday of sorts because people love John Wick so much.
Oh, they do.
Including me.
Yeah.
Including me.
You too.
It's the ultimate escape from reality.
Really?
When you see these John Wick movies. Now, they began almost 10 years ago. 2014 was the first John Wick movie with Keanu Reeves, of course, as the title character.
I love him,
by
the way.
It started off with a big tragedy, of course. His wife passed away. She was ill. And thieves stole his car one night, but worse yet, they killed this darling little puppy that his late wife gave him as a gift to help him cope. So that set this ex-hitman off, and then he went guns a-blazing to make everybody pay that was connected. Now, the difference of, you know, just some random people doing this and the people John Wick went after is that he belongs to this super-secret criminal underworld organization called the High Table, where, you know, they're all like, it's like a union of assassins, maybe. So these are highly skilled people. So this saga went on, you know, to John Wick 2. At the end of that film, he broke a sacred rule by killing somebody on the grounds of one of the criminal empire's safe houses. It's actually a hotel, the Continental Hotel. The third film, he was on the run the entire time. This one, he has a shot at clearing his name and going free, but he has to duel at the person who rules the High Table. And before he gets there, though, there's a huge bounty on him. It's in the high teens, maybe $20 million for him. So a lot of people want to get him, collect that money. So the hallmark of these John Wick movies has been John Wick kills a lot of people.
And, a lot of bad people.
There are a couple friends of mine kept count. One of them, Mike Bryant, my sponsor of this segment. And they came up with $299 for the first three. Kelly, I can't tell you how many people that John Wick takes out in this one. There's a lot of bodies dropping. People who love this stuff, it's over the top. It's silly. We know it's silly. You know, you can't get too uptight about it. It's a shoot 'em up movie. It's a good old-fashioned 1970s style revenge thriller.
Okay.
And my God, it's every bit as entertaining as all the other films combined.
And kind of, I mean, it's got its moments of humor.
Oh my God, yeah. And that's the big thing. You know, these films need a sense of humor. And that's what you get. Sometimes it's from the situation. Sometimes people will say a funny line or whatever. Sometimes it's something so over the top and ridiculous. In the third act of this film, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. It's something you're going to have to experience as a moviegoer.
Right.
Preferably in a theater full of people, because people were roaring out loud because of this scene.
Okay. Now I got to really have to go see it. It's definitely one you want to see in the theater.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, a lot of times when you get critic screenings, you know, you get other critics who kind of suppress their emotions, and I don't understand that. Look, I love watching movies. I enjoy all types of movies. If something's funny, I'm going to laugh. Well, fortunately for me, there were a lot of general moviegoers there. It was a preview screening, and people were roaring, and I was roaring. I was laughing out loud. I mean, just, again, that's the whole thing about the tone of this film. I mean, if this were a straight-up drama, it would be like, well, this is kind of unnerving. He's killing all these people. But, you know, it's just so goofy and over the top. People know it. You know it going in. People know what they're getting going in. And that's what makes the movie entertaining. So, yeah, it's very, very funny in parts. And sometimes, you know, look, it was no laughing matter the way that whole film saga began in 2014. But clearly, you know, they find humor in the situations to, if anything, for comic relief, because it's at a breakneck pace. I mean, this thing is fast and furious. So sometimes you just need a break. And you need a break to laugh.
Yeah. And this is one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else is in it? Who else do I know in this one?
Well, that's, oh my God, it's such of a great cast. And you have Bill Skarsgård, who is the main villain this time. He played Pennywise in the It movies. And you got kind of a look at him at one point during those films. But he is the son of Stellan Skarsgård. There's Alex Skarsgård. These guys are, they're all from Sweden, and they're very, very tall, very, very handsome. he makes a really great villain who dresses up to the nines.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's so terrific. But you also have a reprisal of a character named the Bowery King, played by Lawrence Fishburne. He was in the second film just briefly, a little more in the last film, in number three, and a lot more in this one. Now, of course, Keanu and Lawrence Fishburne were together in the Matrix movies, and he's terrific. Ian McShane, people definitely know this guy from series like Deadwood, and, I mean, he's been in a ton of things. He's got these stark crystal blue eyes. He just has such a tremendous presence. An actor who I'm really not familiar with named Shamir Anderson is also introduced. And there are a couple other people that you'll definitely recognize, you know, more as character actors that come into play here. And they're just so good. But the last one I need to point out is Lance Reddick, who unfortunately passed away last week. He played Tyrone, who was the concierge at the Continental Hotel, which harbored John Wick and other assassins when John Wick didn't break the rules. So, yeah, that was a very sad development. And, you know, the timing is such of a wonderful celebration of this movie. And, you know, its underpinning is sadness because of this loss of this terrific actor who was only 60 years old. And, yeah. So, you know, that, and I hope somehow, in you know, because I screened this about 10 days ago, that somehow they tacked on some sort of in memory in the picture. So
has that gentleman been a part of all the John
Wicks? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Has that gentleman been part of all the John Wicks or just this one?
Oh, he's been in all of them.
Okay, yeah.
He's been in all of them, and he's been in so many different shows, The Wire, Bosch. I mean, this guy, you definitely know Lance Reddick, and just had such of a strong, commanding presence. But everybody who I've read, anyway, whoever came into contact with the guy just loved him. You know, just such of a warm human being. You know, so such of an enormous tragedy to lose him, and the timing of it, you know, to come out again. And Keanu, I mean, everybody loved this guy. I mean, you know, he was great friends with all the cast members, et cetera. So, yeah, a very, very tough situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's something that you definitely want to see. And now you kind of, I mean, it's sort of sad that you want to go see the movie because, you know, this gentleman passed away and you're like, wait, I want to see one of his last performances.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I'm sure that he'll turn up in other things. But yeah, I mean, to me, this is the standout role for him. Just because he was terrific in everything he was in, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
He's also in a show called Fringe on Fox.
Oh.
So, yeah. I mean, the guy's just been in so many things. But, you know, people just came to love him so much in this particular role because he's an adversary of John Wick, and John Wick doesn't have too many adversaries. Yeah, it's very, very sad. One other actor I should point out, Donnie Yen, is the... He's a former friend of John Wick turned adversary in this one, but a friendly adversary. It's kind of a weird relationship. So that's what makes these films special. It's just not straight up good guys and bad guys. There's a lot of gray area in there. And one other thing I should point out, 2 hours and 49 minutes, which means people will get an hour more of action.
Wow.
Seeing John Wick take out the bad guys, but there is an end credit scene. So, yes. You are going to want to watch. You're going to want to be in a theater for the full 2 hours and 49 minutes to catch everything.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Yep.
I know.
They really...
I could have got you out in 2 hours and 40, Kelly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to pay attention to those credits. A lot of people put their work into this. So
you know what?
Credit is due, I say.
I always stick around, and I love it when they put stuff in the credits. And I will sit there, and I notice a lot of people now hanging out till the very bitter end, hoping for something. And sometimes they don't get it, but it's always like a little secret nugget hidden in there. It's always fun.
Well, you know, Marvel conditioned us to all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
You know, with the end credits of all their films. And I tell you what, I was so, it's like, why did I stick around? Scream 6. I'll tell you right now, any listeners, if you haven't seen Scream 6 yet, it is not worth staying to the end credits for this one. It's just such a silly, goofy, two-second thing that happens. It's just not worth it. But again, I was conditioned and I did it.
You did. So that's funny.
So have you been watching anything lately?
Yes, and you're going to die laughing. My mom used to watch, it was like that Project Runway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, on Netflix. And I was like, oh, that's so silly. I'm not into it. Well, they have this one right now called Next in Fashion. And I got in one and now I can't, I watched two whole like series back to back in 2 weeks time. And not only me, my adult male children also watched it with me.
You know, look, sometimes you gain unlikely audiences. My daughter watches this show on Netflix called Love is Blind, where
people meet.
You know of it, then.
Yes, yep, I know.
Where they can't see each other and they commit to marriage sometimes by not seeing each other, just through voice.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, another reality series. Here we go.
Are you kidding?
And it's like, okay, when's the next episode? Yeah, What's wrong with me?
It's just one of those things. It's like, I can't believe they're doing this, but they're so sure. And then when they see you see each other, it's like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, because eventually they do meet each other, and you're wondering, are these kids going to make it?
Are they,
you kind of wonder that kind of thing.
Are they going to be able to talk to each other with their eyes open, or do they have to go through their whole life without their eyes open? I don't know. It's kind of funny.
They found a hook, and they hooked me, which, you know, that was near impossible, but they did it, so it's possible.
Well, I get so tickled at Next in Fashion because, you know, the fashion trends that they put on there are just things that would never, you'd never be able to wear these things out in public, right? Like, this guy was wearing these clothes that look like, it's sort of like sleeping bags, oversized vests, this stuff, sleeping bags. You could barely see them in the outfit, and I'm like, and this is one they're all going crazy for. I'm like, you people are absolutely bonkers. You people are nuts. You need to go pick some eggs on the farm, but it's super fun. I mean, it's right. It's like, it's just like silliness, but it's great. Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, I appreciate you being here. You can learn more about Tim at directconversations.com. He's got all kinds of great interviews and conversations with wonderful stars that you're going to want to hear about. Our movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant. Seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at minnesotapersonalinjury.com. And we always want to thank Bradshaw and Bryant for bringing us Tim Lammers every week for many, many years. We really appreciate it.